do Mormons leave the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? What's the best way for a Christian to witness to a Mormon? Why should we encourage them to read the Bible? And why do many ex-Mormons embrace atheism? Join us today as I talk with Lynn Wilder, an ex-Mormon and the author of Unveiling Grace, the story of how we found our way out of the Mormon Church, and Leaving Mormonism, why four scholars changed their minds. This is Kay Meyer, president of Family Shield Ministries, and your host for today's program. Thanks, Lynn, for being our guest today on Family Shield.
Oh, thanks, Kay, for having me. It's wonderful to be back with you again.
Yeah, it's great to hear your voice again, too. Well, for our listeners, why don't you tell us about how your family found your way out of Mormonism?
Wow. My husband and I were actually raised in biblical Christian churches, but nominal Christians. I did not know the word. And one day at the age of 24, Mormon missionaries knocked on my door. My husband and I had been married a couple of years, and we thought it was a Christian option. The people were wonderful. Within 6 months, Mike and I got very, very active and dug in, and we were just sure that the Mormon Church was the only true church on the face of the earth, and the one with which Jesus was well pleased. And we raised our children in Mormonism. We were there for 30 years. Wow. In various leadership positions, both my husband Michael and myself. All three of our sons served the two-year kind of obligatory, mandatory bicycle, you know, and badge and white shirt and ties mission, knocking on doors and bringing people to Mormonism. We left because God did an amazing thing in our third son on his Mormon mission. He began to read the Bible, and he read the New Testament about a dozen times, he says, over the 2 years of his mission. And slowly it dawned on him that Jesus' own words and the things that the disciples of Jesus and his apostles were teaching were contrary to Mormonism, and he came to a point where he needed to choose. Did he believe the Jesus that the Mormons were teaching, or did he believe the Jesus of the Bible that saves by grace? And one afternoon, he went to his knees and gave his life to the biblical Jesus while still a Mormon.
On his Mormon missionary journey, right?
Yes.
At the time.
Can you imagine what courage it took for a 20-year-old young man to go against everything he'd ever known?
Yeah.
And then to be surrounded by this missionary culture. He says that he asked the Lord in that prayer, he said to the Lord, "You've so profoundly changed me. Now, how do I go about telling other people what you've done in my life?" And he gets up from his knees, and the phone rings, and it's his leader in his Mormon mission inviting him to bear testimony in front of a room full of other missionaries.
Mormon missionaries, right?
Whoa. 3 weeks before it's time for him to go home. Now, this is kind of standard procedure so that the missionaries about to go home can encourage the new ones with what they've learned over the last 2 years, but certainly what Micah learned on his mission was not what others had learned on their missions. And yet, he was so profoundly changed by the Word of God and by the Jesus of the Bible that he bore testimony of Jesus. And but Mormonism is a works-based faith, and so he did not profess faith in the Mormon prophet. He didn't mention Joseph Smith or the Living Prophet today, and some of those things set off some alarm bells with his leader. Mm-hmm. A couple days later, he was called in. They inquired about his faith. He admitted that he believed the Jesus of the Bible, who said he was the only mediator mm-hmm. between man and God. Mm-hmm. And so Micah knew that he didn't need the prophet of the Mormon Church in between. And they took away his temple recommend, told him he had the spirit of the devil in him, called him an antichrist, and put him on a plane and sent him home.
To Utah, where you lived at the time.
Now, Mike and I, still very, very Mormon, just so confused about why this kid's in so much trouble. We thought the Jesus of Mormonism was the same Jesus that
sure.
the Christians had. That is what Mormons
do.
Believe.
Right.
But certainly one thing Micah had realized from reading the New Testament was the Jesus of Mormonism and the Jesus of the New Testament do not teach the same things. Therefore, how can they be the same God? Well, that young man, my husband and I actually put him on a plane, got him out of Utah, because we knew the Mormon Church would excommunicate him, and we could not figure out what he'd done wrong. Hmm. And before Micah got on the plane to leave his parents, he begged us, Mom and Dad, please just read the New Testament mm-hmm. with the eyes of a child. And that was what he had been challenged to do mm-hmm. by a Baptist pastor in Florida. And that reading the Word had changed his life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my husband and I didn't trust the Bible because Mormons believe that their three standard works of Scripture are correct and directly from God, and that the Bible is often mistranslated and you can't tell what's right and what's wrong, and so I didn't trust it. But because our son had challenged us, I did go to the Word and I read the Word. And 10 months of reading the Word of God completely changed my mm-hmm. life. You know, the Bible says that you're washed by the water of mm-hmm. the Word, and that certainly was what happened. Lie by lie by lie, the truth of the Bible washed the lies of Mormonism mm. out of me until mm. I had nowhere to go but to depend on and to trust the Jesus of the Bible. And so Micah's entire family left Mormonism.
Wow. That's
his
powerful.
His two older brothers, his younger sister, and his parents.
And his parents. That is awesome. And I love it as a person that's in charge of a family ministry and a ministry we do. We have our counter-cult ministry. We help family members and friends of Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. So I know how many families are divided because of someone leaving the Watchtower Society or someone leaving the Mormon Church. And I love it that God brought all of your immediate family out of the Mormon Church into the arms of Jesus Christ. And I want to just mention, you mentioned grace, but something from an outline that I do, and it comes from Truth and Love Ministries book, Reverend Mark Cares. The one major difference between Mormons and Christians, Christianity gives us salvation that is based on Jesus, perfection for us, and Mormonism gives us a plan of salvation that depends upon perfection from us. And I know this works-oriented teaching of the Mormon Church, it's also works-oriented in many other religions. But that had to be one of the main things that you saw as you read God's Word, Lynn, was it?
Oh, my. It was, and yet I can tell you now that we've been in ministry for several years and helping folks leave Mormonism, which, by the way, is a very, very difficult thing to do.
Oh,
it took
absolutely.
Me literally 5 years mm. to kind of be reprogrammed and get enough truth in until I felt stable. But that one thing, Satan knows that humans feel like they need to do something in order to feel worthy, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So when folks are leaving Mormonism, that's a really hard thing for them to accept, that Jesus did it all,
yeah.
that they don't have to prove themselves to God, that they don't have to please him, that they can't, you know, earn their way to a higher step. It's a whole reorientation of thinking, mm-hmm. you know, growing all new neuron paths. Mm-hmm. The transfer out of works-based and into grace-based, learning to rest in Jesus. One of the things I remember it did for me was, in Mormonism, my mind was racing constantly. Mm-hmm. I always had these lists of things I had to do, and if anybody got me off my schedule, I was quite, you know, upset about that. And I would try to go to sleep at night, and my mind was just racing. When I gave my life to Jesus and got into the Word, my mind rested.
Mm.
I really have an understanding of what the phrase from the Word means, resting in Jesus. Complete trust in Him, complete mm-hmm. faith in Him, complete provision from Him. And as I walked with Him and He provided, I just began to trust Him immensely, and it's like an opposite way of life from the way mm-hmm. I lived before. Mm-hmm. You know, some kind of upturn of my schedule used to irritate me to death. Now it's like, I wonder what God's up to.
He
must be doing something here. Totally different way to live life.
Sure. Now, one of the things you talk about is how once you and your husband decided to leave Utah and the Mormon Church, God provided for you kind of in a couple amazing ways that helped you see that He was in the midst of this. Tell our listeners what happened when you made that decision to leave not only the Mormon Church, but Utah.
Wow. Mike, I'm surprised you would remember that from the book. I know it's been 2 or 3 or 4 years since you read it.
Mm-hmm.
It was June, and I knew I couldn't go back to BYU in the fall. I had accepted the biblical Jesus. My husband had come along. And it's all right to go to a Mormon university if you're a biblical Christian. They're more than happy to have you come and then convert you.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you're once Mormon and you hold a temple recommend and you leave the Mormon church, you can't be on campus. If you're a student, you can't enroll in classes. And if you're a professor, you cannot stay. They don't want the influence, right, of people who have left Mormonism and kind of know both sides. So it was June of 2007. I knew I wasn't going back in the fall, but I didn't have another job. I had tried to get one in my own strength. I'd actually gotten 3 interviews in Florida, and each time the door shut on those jobs, the economy tanked, and then somebody yanked one of the jobs, one of the other ones I didn't have the right certification for, and there I sat, not knowing what in the world God would do. We needed that part of the income. We had kids mm-hmm. in college, or at least we thought we did, right? We thought then we had to do everything in our own strength. One day I'm all by myself. I remember seeing the sun go down out my kitchen window over the mountains. The phone rings, and a woman says to me, "I'm the dean of the College of Education at Florida Gulf Coast University. I have your vita in front of me, and I'd like to offer you a job." Now, I fell to my knees, and I put the phone out so she can't hear me talking to God, and I said, "You can even get me a job I did not apply for." I had not applied for that job. I had no idea at the moment how she had gotten my vita. And certainly in higher ed, you have to apply for a job a year ahead. But this is the God that I now know.
Yeah.
And when Mike came home from work, I said to him, I think we're going to Florida.
Oh, that's awesome.
Later, we packed up and we were gone. And literally, I'm still there at Florida Gulf Coast 10, 11 years later.
I want to go to announcements in a minute, but I just want to clarify something for our listeners. You mentioned BYU. Prior to becoming a Christian, when you were a Mormon, you taught at Brigham Young University. And so you are a college professor, and now you're at Florida Gulf Coast University. So I just wanted our listeners to know that, because I think that's a big part of the story as well. I want to make some announcements, and then we'll continue talking to Lynn Wilder. Today, Family Shield is giving away the booklet, Mormons, Who They Are, What They Believe. We also give away complimentary tracts that we purchase and give away free to Christians. They'll help you learn how to respond and witness to Mormons. To request the booklet and tracts, call the Family Shield Response Center at 1-877-250-8416 or email us at witness2family@gmail.com. Don't forget to give us your complete name and address. That will be mailed to you. We love to hear from our listeners. Send a note telling us how the program topics and guests have helped and equipped you to serve and witness. You can contact us at Family Shield Ministries, P.O. Box 230015, St. Louis, Missouri 63123. And again, you can also email us at witness2family@gmail.com. Family Shield Ministries is sponsoring the Adams Road Ministry special event on Friday, October 13th at Concordia Lutheran Church in Kirkwood, Missouri. The event is free and begins at 6:30 p.m. Adams Road is composed of ex-Mormons who will share their testimonies of being rescued out of Mormonism, and they'll share their music. Plan now to attend and email us to receive a flyer and bulletin insert that you can share with members of your congregation, Christian friends. And again, the email is witness2family@gmail.com. Now I want to go back to my guest, Lynn Wilder. Lynn, Adams Road Ministry is a part of your son's ministry. Tell us how you're connected to Adams Road Ministry.
That young missionary, Micah, that found Jesus on his Mormon mission, when he was sent home from his mission, he immediately decided that he was in ministry to Mormons so that they might know the God that he knew. But not just Mormons, but anyone who was caught in a works-based faith. And that young man's been in ministry now 11 years. He helped to give the gospel to his older brother, who is also a former Mormon missionary, and to my son-in-law, who was a missionary with Micah, who Micah shared with and then found Jesus. So Adams Road is three former Mormon missionaries and one little girl out of polygamy, one sweet little innocent dear girl from the LeBaron group in Mexico. I don't know if you know, but in the 1860s, Abraham Lincoln detested Mormonism for two reasons. One was the racism. There are still 26 scriptures in Mormonism that teach that dark skin is a curse. And Utah Territory at the time was actually a slave territory. So that was one reason that Lincoln had a problem with the Mormons. But the other was polygamy. Mm-hmm. Mormons were living polygamy, and he really felt like it was immoral. And so in 1862, in the middle of the Civil War, Lincoln had Congress pass an anti-bigamy law. And then he intended to not allow the Mormons to have statehood until they quit practicing polygamy. Mm. Well, of course, Lincoln was killed in 1865 at the end of the Civil War. And in the 1880s, Ulysses S. Grant was president of the United States. He marched the U.S. Army out to Utah and threatened them, stop practicing polygamy or we'll take away all your assets. So the polygamists went underground to Canada and to Mexico. In fact, right now, Adams Road is in Canada around those polygamy colonies. They still exist. From the 1880s, they ran away. The polygamists that were Mormon either went underground or they ran to Canada and they ran to Mexico. Mitt Romney's progenitors came from a polygamy colony in Mexico. You probably heard him say during the election that his grandfather was born in Mexico. That's why, in a polygamy colony.
Wow, wow. I just wonder sometimes if Abraham Lincoln had not been killed, if some of the issues we deal with today might have been settled. Who knows? We don't know. Mm. But our time is flying by. Thank you so much for that. There's so much more we could talk about. But your newest book, Leaving Mormonism, Why Four Scholars Changed Their Mind, the last chapter, you talk about atheism. Why do many ex-Mormons embrace atheism?
Unfortunately, the Mormon Church teaches Mormons that if we're not true, nothing's true. They teach them that biblical Christians have a little bit of the truth. Mormons have the fullness of the truth. So they don't teach you that you're opposites. They teach you that biblical Christians are lesser, Mormons are greater, right? So, plus they teach you not to trust the Bible.
Right. That's a big issue, isn't it?
That's a huge issue. So once Mormons get on the internet and look into the history and decide Joseph Smith might have been rather a cad that chased women, et cetera, and wasn't quite what the Mormon Church says he is, and finds out all these historical problems, like the Book of Mormon is not historically accurate. There's no DNA evidence that what it says, that those people actually lived here in the Americas, that kind of thing. Then they leave for historical reasons. Some of them, too, get on the internet and hear all this stuff about the Bible. They'll say, well, the Bible was never reliable, and there was never a flood, and there's no evidence for this, and that people made up the Trinity at the Council of Nicaea. A lot of the criticisms that atheists make toward biblical Christianity, Mormons have always made, and so when they leave Mormonism, all of those things are still stuck in their head. Mm-hmm. And if they don't get into the Word, which washes you with truth, then a lot of the lies that they've been told are still stuck in their head, only they don't often recognize them as lies from Mormonism.
Sure.
So those are two major reasons, the fact that they teach them not to trust the Bible and that biblical Christians are lesser. And certainly they teach them that if we're not true, nothing's true. And so I have a survey in front of me that says about half the people said after Mormonism they went to atheism, but another 30% claim to be agnostic.
Oh.
And yet as many as hundreds of thousands are leaving per year right now. So that is an amazing mission field for us for such a time as this,
right?
To walk with those folks through that horrific transition and teach them the truth about biblical faith and the biblical Jesus, which they're not hearing.
Right.
And they're not hearing from Christians.
They're not hearing from Christians. And we have 4 minutes left, so the time's going to go quickly. But besides encouraging them to read the Word, even if they don't trust it, just as you didn't, the Word and the power of the gospel will penetrate false teachings. But what else, in the few minutes that we have left, what else besides praying for their loved ones, what other aspects do we do to witness to them effectively?
As a professor and now having worked with atheists for many, 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 many years, God has just so laid them on my heart. One of the things that blew me away when I was Mormon and I read the New Testament was, whoa, this is rational, this is reasonable, this is consistent. The message is repeated, and then when I got to investigating, I found out the evidence for the Bible is so overwhelming. Yeah. And one day it hit me. It's as if this God wants to be found. Mm. It's as if this God wants us to be saved,
yes.
Right?
Yes, he does.
This is a God who loves us so much.
Mm-hmm.
But because I've been in academia and because more post-Mormons who have gone to atheism believe in science as their God and believe that they are thinking beings and yet, you know, religious people are not thinking beings, this book is an attempt to bring Christianity into the reasoning realm or to show folks that there are reasons for Christianity.
Let me mention your book again as we close the program, Leaving Mormonism, Why Four Scholars Changed Their Mind. Your last chapter talks about the atheism issue, how many ex-Mormons are becoming atheists. And you go into a lot of detail in that chapter that will help Christians learn, but our time is up. So I just want to introduce my guest again, Lynn Wilder. She has two books, probably more, but Unveiling Grace, The Story of How We Found Our Way Out of the Mormon Church, and Leaving Mormonism, Why Four Scholars Changed Their Minds. You can learn more on the website, and we will connect you to Lynn if you want more information. This is Kay Meyer with Family Shield. Learn more about Family Shield Ministries at www.familyshieldministries.com. Don't forget to come to Adams Road Ministry event on October 13th. God bless.
You've been listening to Family Shield, a production of Family Shield Ministries. Its mission is to educate and equip people through the power of the gospel to know Christ, grow in His Word, and to strengthen individuals and their families. To learn how you can obtain resources or support the ministry, go to www.familyshieldministries.com or write Family Shield Ministries, P.O. Box 230015, St. Louis, Missouri 63123. And tune in again next week for Family Shield.